A wonderful Sunday morning to you all. Thank you for listening this morning. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to personally thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you'll become a regular listener. We encourage you to listen each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to answer your Bible questions with a Bible answer. We encourage you to write those questions to the Harrisburg Church of Christ, 1369 127 Bypass, Harrisburg, Kentucky, 40330. We also encourage you to check out our website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You will find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word, including these radio broadcasts and other material that will help you in the study of this wonderful book. At the end of our broadcast, you'll be given our meeting time for our services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. Our question today comes from a passage in Matthew, the 15th chapter, and verse number 13 and 14. Matthew 15, verse 13 and 14. But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, they both shall fall into the ditch." It's interesting, and these are the two passages that the questioner asked to explain, but if we continue reading, even Peter and the disciples wanted to understand what this parable meant. And he said in verse 16, "Are you also yet still without understanding?" Now again, in the context of this passage, it is talking about those things that enter and go out of the mouth. Notice in verse 17, "Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. And for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." You see, the Jews, trying to find fault with the disciples of Jesus and Jesus himself, were making their laws as equal to the laws of God. And they were complaining because the disciples did not wash their hands when they ate bread as the tradition of the elders. Well, he's trying to tell them in the earlier verses that the tradition of the elders were not the law of God. They were their tradition, and yet they were wrong when they were trying to elevate them to be the law of God. And when he gave them the answer offended them in verse number 12. And then in verse 13, he answers that question, did he know that what he said offended them? And then he told the answer beginning in verse 13 about the plant being uprooted. Now again, he's talking about them taking the law and traditions of the Pharisees and making them equal to the law of God. They're blind leaders. They're leading the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, they both fall into the death. The traditions were not the law of God. And therefore, there was no violation in not keeping those traditions. But the principle here is one that I want us to consider. Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Now, let's look at the principle of this passage for a moment. There are many, many churches in the world. You can listen to the radio, you can go on the television, you might even see billboards. And they have these slogans that are very popular in our day and time. Join the church of your choice. Or, one church is as good as another, and all roads lead to the heavenly place. Now, all those are catchy and short phrases, but the principle that it encourages is certainly not scriptural. The Bible tells us that in Ephesians chapter 4, that there is one body. And we know from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 through 22, that one body is the church. And we know the church is the body and the plant, the spiritual plant that was planted by God, and that he is the foundation of, 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11. He purchased it with his own blood, Acts 20, verse 28. And we also understand that one body means that there is only one church. Now again, many people get turned off by this. They believe that such thinking is narrow-minded. They believe it's haughty and it's arrogant. Yet, this is exactly what the scripture teaches. And what this is a question of authority. Where does the authority lie in the religious realm? In the world of religion, where is the authority that authorizes whether a church or an action or a work or even worship itself is acceptable and correct in the sight of God? Well, in Matthew 28:18, prior to his ascension back to the Father, he said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Therefore, all authority in every spiritual manner has to come through Jesus Christ. If it is right, if it's a work of God, if it's acceptable to God, it must have his stamp of approval and his authority behind it. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, "And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." In the name of the Lord means by his authority. Whatever we do in word or in deed must be with his Son's approval. It must be by the word of God. If it does not come by the word of God, then it truly cannot be called a work of God. It cannot be called acceptable to God. And it certainly cannot be called something that God will accept. Jesus himself told us in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, a very simple principle. "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Again, acknowledging his authority. In Matthew the 7th chapter, in the great Sermon on the Mount, bringing that lesson to a conclusion and making application of the things that he taught, he begins in verse 21 of the 7th chapter saying, "Not everyone who saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye who practice lawlessness." Now, that word lawlessness also comes from a word iniquity. And iniquity means to act without authority. Now, it is a very prominent thought that all churches are good and that all churches represent God. And really, it makes no difference which one you belong to. They all are different. They might have a different name. They might do things differently. Their worship might be different. Their work might be different. The way they approach Scripture may be different. But in the end, they all believe in God. They all accept the Son. And they all accept that he was died and was buried and resurrected and ascended back to heaven. And since we agree on those basic principles, then it really doesn't matter about the other things that we do or the other things we believe. Such is the thinking of many. Such is the thinking of even some that I've talked with in this city who say that we have to agree on the basics, but on doctrine we can differ. Well, such thinking has gone away because it's not according to biblical authority. According to authority of Christ, if we don't remain in the doctrine of Christ, we don't have God and we don't have the Son. Please read 2 John verse 9 through 11. We must abide in the doctrine of Christ. There are many religious institutions who are good people, who do good things from a secular point of view, and are involved in many secular works and social works, and what I might call the social gospel. in helping the social problems of our generation. Housing, hunger, addictions, homelessness, and many other things. And though all those things are noteworthy, and all those things are problems in our society, yet the question you must ask, and the question that must be given a biblical answer, is that the work of the church? Is that the reason that the Lord planted the church, the body of Christ, the spiritual institution, to do the work that God gave it to do that we can find contained in His Word? Is that the work of the church? Is that the proper thing that God designed and created the church to do? And the answer to that is absolutely not. In our day and time, the work of the church has been changed and altered to meet the social issues of the day. The social issues of the day are the job of individuals and other institutions that were set up by men and set up by our government in order to take care of those who are less fortunate and the disabled and the needy. And we have a personal responsibility as individuals to look at and try to help those who have needs as we have opportunity and ability. Yet, unfortunately, in our day and time, that has been turned over to what some call the free society of churches and the benevolent work of churches. Ladies and gentlemen, this was not the design nor the purpose of the church that was planted by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ planted the church to do three things. Number one, to evangelize the lost, to send the gospel to every creature throughout the world. Please read Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Luke 24, 46 through 47, and Mark 16, 15 and 16. The second thing that the church is required to do is to edify itself. That means to build it up spiritually, to teach it, to instruct it, to continue the spiritual education. Please read Acts chapter 20, verse 32, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. Edification. Now, the church also is required to do benevolence. Benevolence of needy saints. There are 9 examples of the church taking money from its treasury and helping the needy, but in all 9 cases, it is for the saints. It is for those who are part of the Lord's church. Those outside the Lord's churches, the Lord's church, are the responsibility of individuals, as myself, as you are, to help in the things that we can do. The government and the federal government and the local government and the state government that sets up different things and we pay our taxes for to help those who are less fortunate. Unfortunately, we've got our wires crossed and we've made the Lord's church the benevolent institution to solve all the social whims of the day. Ladies and gentlemen, that is men's theology, human theology. Never can you find such teaching from the authority of Christ contained in the Bible. And so we get back to our passage. Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be uprooted. Leave them alone. If the blind lead the blind, they both shall fall into the ditch. Ladies and gentlemen, the only plant that was planted by God was His church, with His Son as the head, and the authority of Christ in everything it says and everything it does. Please read the scripture. Thank you.